Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on this Friday afternoon on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Purcell. He's one of the world's leading big cat experts and has been called the Indiana Jones of wildlife conservation. Dr. Alan Rabinowitz travels the world on behalf of wildlife conservation and is responsible for the world's first jaguar sanctuary. Cincinnati Zoo's Thane Maynard had a chance to talk with Rabinowitz recently about his work and about his picture book, A Boy and a Jaguar, that tells the real-life story of his own childhood.
Dr. Alan Rabinowitz, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
You know, you've been to Cincinnati many times, spoken at the zoo a number of times. And honestly, Alan, I love this kid's book you've put out called A Boy and a Jaguar.
Well, it's been a long time in coming. I've wanted to write a children's book forever, but interestingly, this has been one of the more difficult books I've had to write.
Well, you know, that's right, isn't it? You've written others that are just renowned. The book Jaguar, about your seminal work on jaguars in Central America and other conservation work around the world. And yet this one is so touching, you know, your true story of challenges growing up. But I'll say, just as a book guy who has three daughters and have read a lot of kids' books, it is beautifully done. Everything, even the cover, the way the type was done. Honestly, I imagine it's a big hit.
Well, it just came out. I am hoping that it reaches a lot of young people. I really want this story to get out to young people.
You know, I know some of your story from having read your other books and of course, knowing you, but I imagine this will make quite a run because it doesn't just tell the story of a guy who grew up to help save animals, but also the challenges you had growing up as early on as a stutterer.
No, that's right. And I also would like people, when they read it, I'm really hoping that what comes across is that while it's my story about a child with a debilitating stutter growing up and ending up saving jaguars who I felt helped save me as a child, it's also more than that. It goes beyond that. It's really about any child, any young person who feels unaccepted or different or misunderstood by the adult world, how those things can be used to their advantage, how those create strengths in young people. They don't portray weakness. They create opportunities for young people to actually seek out their passions and become more than they might have been otherwise.
You know, in that tie to the role that animals played for you when you were young, I've seen that many times at the zoo, that some kids who have challenges, man, they connect with animals way better than they connect with their peers.
Because animals don't judge us. I mean, part of why I could talk to animals when I couldn't speak in the adult world was because I knew that there were no expectations from the animals. There was no judging by the animals. The human world was classifying me a certain way because I couldn't speak, putting me in classes for disturbed children, while in the animal world I felt I was normal. They really saved me. They allowed me as a child to have a normal life, which I felt I didn't have in the human world.
You know, you're mentioning that animals don't judge us reminds me of, for many people, their pets, very often dogs, but it can be other animals as well. Their pets play a huge role in their lives, I think partly for that reason. They just unconditional trust.
They really do. And I would just hope that some people do listen closely to their animals. I mean, while animals cannot understand the exact words we're saying in all likelihood, they absolutely understand our feelings and our emotions and what we're trying to convey through our speech to them. Simply because they don't have a human voice, they absolutely have a voice that needs to be heard. And I wish that more people would listen and hear the voice of animals more. Maybe we wouldn't treat them perhaps as badly as we do.
In fact, that reminds me, when I very first read your book last week, the first person I contacted was Jane Goodall, because it resonates just with what you were just saying about the significance of what we can learn from animals if we calm down and take time to listen.
That's so true. That is so true. I mean, now a lot of people realize that animals are being used in for for war veterans coming back with post-traumatic stress. They're being used with elderly people. They're being used with cancer patients. They open up the best part of us. Animals allow us to express and to feel and to open up what's best in us, which is wonderful. I just wish we would reciprocate more for the wildlife.
I know that on the back jacket of your book, you have an endorsement from Temple Grandin. And, of course, she has a great book out along that theme called Animals Make Us Human.
Yes. Temple is an amazing, amazing human being. And I was very honored to get a statement from her about this book. She really liked it, and that made me feel very special.
Now, on the bigger front of global conservation, especially big cat conservation, of course, you're the president of Panthera, an organization that helps protect everything from jaguars to tigers. And catch us up a bit. Are there still hopeful stories about jaguars in Latin America?
There's a lot of really good stories. There's plenty of bad stories still out there, especially when it comes to tigers and lions, sadly, the two largest cats in the world. There are not many of those cats left, and they're still in dire jeopardy. But we're making headway in saving them in some really special wild areas. Jaguars, fortunately, are doing better than all the large cats. That's partly due to history, because they were able to reclaim a lot of their former habitat by a bad set of circumstances. When the Spanish first came over, the diseases that the Europeans who colonized the Americas brought killed so many indigenous people that the forest was allowed to grow back in many areas, and jaguars actually were able to recolonize much of their original habitat. But the fact is they're being still killed all the time now, and they're losing a lot of land. So we just have to realize that we can live in a world, we can have everything we want. We can have progress, we can have prosperity, and we can be living with these big cats also. There just needs to be some amount of compromise.
So here's a question for you, because you're an authority on big cats. I know when I read or talk to Craig Packer, who's a lion expert of great report from his long-term study in Serengeti, he feels there's only a half a dozen areas, big areas like Serengeti or remote areas like Ruaha in southern Tanzania, that where lions will hold on, and that you may as well write off all the others that, say, live with the Maasai in the South Rift. And yet, our zoo, for instance, is very involved with the Maasai in the South Rift, and they still live among lions. So what do you feel if you squint and imagine 50 or 100 years from now about the world's African lion population?
Well, I know Craig well. Craig actually sits on our advisory board for Panthera, mm-hmm. and he is one of the world's, if not the world's, lion expert. He is right in that there is only perhaps half a dozen places left on Earth which we can consider to be major viable breeding populations of the lion left. However, I don't agree, and I never have, with either Craig or others who say we just need to face it and do triage and write off the other peripheral populations or individuals. I used to propose that myself, actually, for the jaguars, until I learned that the jaguars themselves were trying everything they could to survive and were actually surviving well in some of these smaller peripheral areas, and were able to make their way through areas of human landscape which we never thought they could make their way through. We've now seen that with the tigers. We've seen it some with the lions. I don't think we should write off anything. Now, you do have to come down to a practical matter of resources in terms of manpower and money and what you put towards saving different things. But I don't believe that any population should be written off. I think that I almost did that with the jaguars, and it would have been a huge mistake. The jaguars taught me to think differently about how you look at a species throughout its entire range.
You know, that's a fascinating story when you think of how much you've learned in the past 30 years of working with jaguars, but still carefully learning and paying attention because, as you know, so many species in nature are on the brink, and yet animals are resilient and resourceful.
Exactly. That's right. They are incredibly resilient. I have a new adult book coming out after this children's book. It's already finished. It's another jaguar book, and it's titled An Indomitable Beast, because that's what I consider the jaguar. Really, I could say that about all the large cats, but the jaguar more than others. It's indomitable. These cats are so resilient. They will try and do whatever it takes to survive. Just the fact that they have survived what humans have done to them up until now just shows their resiliency. But you never write them off. You never put them in a predefined box of thinking what they can or cannot do. That's the lesson I've learned after 30 years.
You know what makes me smile about that title of your book is that though you're a renowned writer, a scientist, president of a great big organization, I know that it takes a very tough person to really get in the field and study wild cats in tough areas. And so it could be your memoir, An Indomitable Beast, and that's a good thing. You're like your jaguars.
That's what some people have said to me. I just hope that I live long enough to see that the jaguars and other large cats not only are fairly secure in certain areas, but that young people are now rising up as the next wave of humans that will help to protect them. That was a large part of the reason for this children's book.
Absolutely, and it's a terrific book. Alan, thanks for spending a few minutes with us. We're going to sell the book at our shop at the Cincinnati Zoo, and I'm sure they will at lots of other zoos as well.
Thank you so much, Thane. It's great talking to you.
All right. I look forward to seeing you again.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
My guest has been Dr. Alan Rabinowitz, president of the conservation group Panthera and author of a new children's book, A Boy and a Jaguar.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7. You can find archives and links for Cincinnati Edition stories at WVXU.org. Technical director for today's show was Kevin Rowinski. Producer was Pete Reitmeier. I'm Mark Purcell. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Science Friday next on 91.7.